You're listening to the Naked Genetics podcast with me, Dr. Kat Arney. Still to come, we'll be finding out whether junk DNA is really necessary and meeting our crunchy fried gene of the month. But now it's time to hear more from the Genetic Society Spring Meeting, focusing on genes and psychiatric illness. During the course of the meeting, scientists touched on a number of ethical implications and concerns about their research, particularly testing for gene variations and faults linked to psychiatric conditions. So it was only fitting that at the end of the day, biological ethics specialist Professor Hank Greeley from Stanford Law School took to the podium to unpack some of these issues in greater depth. I started by asking him to explain some of his fears for this brave new genetic future.
So I worry that people will get tests of themselves, their children, their fetuses, their embryos, and will be told, ooh, there's a 10 times higher than average risk that this person, fetus, embryo, will have schizophrenia, and then we'll act on it. In terms of the embryo, I'm not sure how great a harm that is. In terms of a fetus, where I'm pro-choice in American terms, I'm not opposed to abortions, but I don't think aborting for a bad reason or for a scientifically incorrect reason is a good thing, going through that procedure for the woman involved. And then, you know, I think about kids. How would it affect a 12-year-old and his relationship to his parents in the world to be told he's at high risk for getting schizophrenia?
Because, of course, carrying a gene variation or being told that you have this risk, it's not the same as having the disease.
That's right. There are times when it almost is. So if you have 72 CAG repeats on your Huntington gene, that's the classic 100%. Everybody with the genotype gets the phenotype. With the psychiatric diseases, even if you believe some of the studies, and there are huge replication problems with most of them, the highest risks we're seeing are about 30% higher. And so if the background rate is 1%, as it is for schizophrenia, 30% increase on 1% is 1.3%. Now, you also have to be careful. People don't understand the difference between relative risk and absolute risk. And so 30% sounds like a lot.
That sounds like 30 in 100 people getting it.
Right. As opposed to, or it sounds like you're going from 1% to 31%, but you're going from 1% to 1.3%. And people aren't going to understand that. So I think we need to be very careful about how this information gets used with the public. I'm strongly in favor of making sure there are learned professionals in between the genetic information and the individual patient or consumer who can sit down and explain it and look at you face to face and see where you're confused or where you're troubled by something. The direct-to-consumer movement here has almost religious advocates, at least in the States, people who say, you know, it's my genome, damn it, and the government isn't going to keep me from getting my hands on it. I think that's crazy.
The field that I know most about is cancer and cancer genetics. Do you think that psychiatric genetics is kind of a special case and needs to be treated with maybe more care and delicacy than other diseases that affect other parts of the body?
On balance, yes, I'm a little reluctant to say that because I think we need to normalize psychiatric diseases. They are diseases of the body. They are diseases of the part of the body called the brain. And just like all liver diseases are liver diseases, mental diseases and neurological diseases are all diseases of the brain. And yet, I think in part because of the dualist notion that, no, these are diseases of the mind or diseases of demonic possession or something else, they are more heavily stigmatized and we do need to be more careful about them. It's also the case that they are harder in some ways to diagnose. You know, if you've got a malignant cancer, pathologists may have trouble figuring out exactly what the underlying initial cell was, but they're not going to have any trouble figuring out you've got a malignant cancer. A lot of the psychiatric disorders, very difficult to diagnose, very difficult to define, and I think we see that in part with the weakness of the genetic findings. We know from things like twin studies or sibling concordances that a lot of these diseases have to have powerful genetic components. There's just no other explanation for why 1% of the general population would get it, but if you're an identical twin and your twin has it, you have a 70% risk. Or you have a SIB, you have a 10% risk. There's got to be genes at work. Just getting there, particularly through when it works through what I think is the most complicated known object in the universe, the human brain, there'll be a lot of complexity. Hundreds of genes involved, lots of life experiences, probably lots of unknown and perhaps unknowable times when chance plays a role. So I do think we need to be particularly careful about it, mainly because of the potential for stigma, as well as the fact that these are going to be about the most complex things. Any kind of behavioral traits, whether it's a mental illness or something like math ability or personality, it's going to be incredibly complex.
And as far as you're concerned, maybe looking into the future, the immediate future, what one thing are you most excited about the potential of genetics for understanding psychiatric disease? And what one thing are you most afraid of or concerned about?
I'm most concerned about its possibility for misuse, that people will start using it too early and make decisions about themselves or their family members that will be bad decisions. And I'm worried about that because the incentives are all for hype and for exaggerating the power of this, the social incentives for scientists, the incentives for journalists, the incentives for companies, all push in one direction, and that can lead to bad things. The hope is that this will tell us something about what causes some of these diseases, or maybe in some cases, how many different diseases we're dealing with. I'm not convinced schizophrenia is one thing. It's like we used to think hepatitis was one thing, inflammation of the liver. We now know there are a lot of different causes of hepatitis, and knowing that there are different hepatitises has helped us understand how to treat them and how to cure many of them. So it's an exciting time of learning more about what's causing these, and genetics can give us some clues and maybe even some real answers there. And the amount of human suffering that could be avoided with some good treatments or preventions for mental illnesses is truly staggering. If I had the power to cure or prevent just one disease, I think I'd pick schizophrenia. 1% of the population has it. It's incredibly disabling, and it's incredibly cruel because it usually strikes people as they're just coming into their own in their late teen years or in their early 20s. Normal, happy children become severely, severely disabled by this terrible mental illness. Anything that can help us cure that or even treat it better would be a good thing. And I think genetics provides some hope, but we're not going to do it tomorrow. It'll be a journey with lots and lots of steps, and we have to avoid overhyping any one of the many steps on the path to what could be one of the greatest benefits conferred upon mankind.
That was Hank Greeley from Stanford Law School in California.